A friend anxiety and gloom, a time of joy, a time of sorrow, in times of shadow, times of sunshine. But this is a happy occasion. In this, that we fulfilled your wisdom those many years. Happy to know that the Lord has saved them and used them. Happy to know that they are fulfilling this wonderful commission and they're going further to spread this glorious message. At the outset, let me say, I won't demand this. I heard about the preacher, perhaps you heard about him too. And he was giving a Lent exposition. He had given the minor prophets and subdivided them, and then he was beginning on the major prophets. And I would say, Ezekiel, here's Ezekiel, where was we him? One old chap, the front says, he says, I've had enough, he can have my Jesus alike. I trust we won't have any of that here tonight. But I suggest, in the opening verse, we have the call of our friend. And look, I didn't say Bill. The farewell is for Bill, Sissy and Ike. And they're all here, the call of the Savior. From that wonderful feast of quiet sung opening, wonderful grace of Jesus. That's why we're here with Jesus. And then our brother Cannon sung, Save. That's the reason they were saved. Because they received this wonderful invitation, the call of the Savior, come unto me, and I will give you rest. And then may some that lovely thing, he'll walk beside us. So he will. He has walked beside us. And he'll walk beside us still, and guide us, for he's the one that said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake. And we're all agreed. That what Beth and David sung, and have sung for many years, is true, is a wonderful thing. So is it. But not only the call, but then I suggest the consecration. That's Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, brother, not command you, I beseech you, brother, by the mercy of God, that we present, that's the priestly word, giving wholly over of the animal under the old economy. I beseech you, brethren, that ye present, that's consecration, your bodies, that's personal, not someone else's, your body, which is your reasonable service, but what are a sacrifice, that's a practical thing. This life in consecration is practical. Thou brother and sister, thy first Agnes as she grows older, will realize this practice. The giving of oneself to the Lord is for his glory and for our benefit and blessing. But then there's the commission. At that time when we are commissioned for this wonderful service. And note the passage I chose, beginning at Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. I feel that has been the trend of the life, especially of our brother, and partly of our sister. Now I wonder how we're going to handle this. But I think I'll take the usual form. Ladies first. Always remember, ladies first, especially in case of day. As our brother Charlie said, I know Sissy the longest. I don't know whether I knew her before, whether or not. But it's been a happy association. As a girl, I first met her in service. She'd been saved. She'd come to the time of consecration. She was beginning at Jerusalem. And in a famous home, where there were a company, a good company of men, elderly men, younger men, and others came in, she played the organ at the sailor's home in the plain, as you went from this side into the plain, and she did a volume set. As our association grew, No, we've got a little Sunday school started. Should we see my Sunday school teacher with her father and other two brethren? That Sunday school grew to over 300. I told them at our own Sunday school teacher meeting, in a place that held 350, there were 580. That between public hall, large company gathered, and most of the training of those children was done by our sister, engaged in that. But then there was a change came in life. I don't know the exact time, but there was an association, and this young man, and he's here on the platform tonight, he came from the devil's side. And he wooed us, and he won us. And those that had been consecrated at separate times and separate places became joined in this work. Then, a happy occasion had come. I told you, we'd been enjoying sorrow. And there was a wee girl expected. We were all looking forward to it. One day, Bill came up. I knew there was something wrong. He came in. He said, "Peter, what will I do?" "Sissy, don't doubt tonight your husband's love for you." And never, on the occasion when he came up, when my wife and I looked out the window, and he came in, and he just broke down. And for an hour, we prayed and wept together. Sissy was very ill in hospital. But that prayer was answered. And God saw those tears. And Sissy's here tonight. And I didn't see her tonight for a very small beginning. But she's in the middle now. Now my time is limited. And I can give you fuller history. Perhaps history you wouldn't know about. But when I first met Bill, when of course the truth is coming there, I remember one occasion, Mr. Chile Tutte, we all wanted to know how we get across Jesus. James Butler, of course. Some tried direct with the train. Some tried train and bus. Some tried bus both ways. And then we figured out what was to be the key. But we met a couple of young men there, young women there. I remember on one occasion, the tent was by James Spink, he went to America too, from England. Jim McNeil's here tonight. He was in the Alawa and Devondale too. But Bill was there with other young men. And perhaps I'm telling you something now, you know. The first time I met him, it was a much sought after elocution. It wasn't a preacher, but it didn't do much preaching. It was a much sought after elocution. Not only in the Glasgow, west of Scotland, but well over, I met him quite often at social. And the singer then, an outstanding singer then, he decided to go to the work to that dance net. At a time when the Japanese were in prison camp, and I think it was there that this was born in his heart, to go to the work. Dan was a gold medalist at Folkert Festival, at Edinburgh Festival, and he sung the part, for there were many others. But then, as he joined the city, the town moved on, and the Lord saw fit to remove him from this area. And he went down to a place called New Stevenson, from Lanarkshire, then I'll give tonight. Perhaps I'll give them some Lanarkshire still, they didn't know either. So when he went to New Stevenson, good company of young men and women there too. And with him went a colony from this area. There was Davy Mack. There was the organist tonight, Bertie. There was Randy Lee. There was John McIntosh, and perhaps others. And Archie Brody is now with him. He's come up on Saturday going with him. And they had a lovely time together. But Bill began there to start systematic Bible reading, and not for himself, but the young men in that assembly. Systematic Bible reading before the Emmaus course. And the Emmaus course is a good course. And for instance, young men, if it was the subject of faith, He gathered everything in faith and put them into an envelope. If it was love, everything in love and put it into an envelope. And then when you wanted to something in that line, you just went to your envelope with love. See, it was all in debt. And that's how it starts. A very energetic company of young men. But before he went to Arabshire, there was a track band started here. And this track band, it grew from 5 to nearly 8. And that 8 is, some went out, Bob Lake went out to Cuba, George Patton out to China. Then when Bill McNeil and the others went to Lanarkshire, they began a track band. And the track band joined with the Cameron track band, and the one night he marched from the cross to the market square and stopped all the traffic, about 150 strong. But it didn't end there. From that track band went out to the mission field George Hanlon, Sam Hanlon, Robert McCluckie, Gene Parr. And then when the Demon Boys started, George Hanlon went to Centerwa. He got a track band there, met a young woman there. He married her, and they went away. One night, oh yes, God died. During the war, I was coming across from Lochore, and as I came from Lochore, at 2 minutes to get the last bus, there were only 2 hours service then. If any knew about travelling during the war, it's very difficult. I never left them. So I says, Lord, I don't know where I am. And it's pitch black, and I've 2 minutes to get the last bus, and I don't know how to get there. But I said there was somebody near. I says, excuse me, could you tell me where to get the Falkirk bus at the bus stand? And a voice says, is that you, Mr. Maxwell? I said, that's me. He said, my mother told you we're in a meeting this morning going on to Lahore, and this was George Hanlon's wife now. Yellow then, she was a nurse going back to her job as a nurse, and she took me to the bus stop, and I got my bus, and by God's care, back to Falkirk, the last bus stand. And then Bill, with others, Bob Leighton, George Spoon out of the Lord, George Spoon and many others, they had the first track band conference and banner band conference. If I describe them, then you're going to see some of them tonight. Young men here in the gallery were in that track band and then the banner band and Bill, he started at Philadelphia, that was Jerusalem. And then he branched out to Judea and then to Samaria. And then the Lord guided him. And he went full time into the Lord's work. And he's going out now, he's been there twice before, but he's going out now to carry the same message as he's carried for those many years with the same power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And we trust as they go forth that the Lord will bless them in their going forth. I'd like to use the words of one of all as he gave this commendation to Agnes and Sissy and Bill as they set from our shores and go across the great expanse of water and go to the deep south. In this work of the gospel, we as an assembly and friends in this area, rejoicing having fellowship with them and enjoying his past blessings and ministry, we would commend them to God and to the word of his grace. And in the words of another, I say, give the Lord your best as you've done in former years. Give him the gold of your salary. Give him the frankincense of your love, and give him the mirror of your submission, and in that God will be glorified. We, the people of God, let on this side rejoice, and those on the other side come in for a blessing and the fragrance as they make contact with our beloved friends as they meet for the other. In your name, the assembly, in the name of the friends gathered here tonight, we commend them to God and to the Word of His name. Now, I think we should have our tea this time, and I'm going to ask our brother James Gillespie to give God thanks for the things we're about to take.
Our gracious God and Father, as we now grow in thy holy presence, we give thee thanks for our coming together. We thank thee for all that we have heard in song, and for the words that we have heard concerning our brothers and sisters. And we pray, our God and Father, that thy good hand may be upon them in the years to come. We thank thee now for the provision thou hast made for our body. And we pray that as we partake of this, that our fellowship may be sweet, the one with the other. And we give thee our thanks for that. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus. the way that leads to glory. Thy every tear He will lead, and bring thee safe at last to heaven. Let Jesus be.
Thank you. excuse for everything, you know. But you'll just remember tonight, it's a farewell night, and we don't want it to get too long. You know, I was going to say that I think since he was married, that he began to settle down there. Because before that, we didn't know where to get Bill. He was just in a good place.
That's true. Here we have no continued sin. Before I say anything, perhaps I should read the Word of God. The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 9, verse 2. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. The Gospel according to John, chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 27 of the same chapter. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now chapter 16 and the last verse of the chapter. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. God bless you with the reading these verses. On one occasion over in the north of Ireland, and if there are any Irish people here, it's with apologies I say this. Over there, a man once said to me, you know, Bill, he says you've got to die over here before you know what a great person you've been. He said, if you go to some funerals here, he said, you think of the conference you were at, 2 and 3 seaters. And where they get all the information about the man who died, he says, I don't know. He says, a lot of them say things, he says, that I couldn't say and wouldn't say. But I'm glad that we're not over in the north of Ireland tonight. We're in Bethany Hall. And you know, it reminds me of these words, if with wonder you are viewing any work a man is doing, if you like him and you love him, tell him now. Do not wait till life is over and he's underneath the clover and he lies with snowy lilies on his brow. For no matter how you shout it, he won't care a thing about it. And you know, he cannot leave his tombstone when he's dead. See, all the wonderful things about him when they're gone, I write them on the tombstone. Now, at Bethany Hall, you like to tell people while they're here in the body. Now, that's good. I'll keep that up. I would like to say tonight, first of all, just a real big thank you for all those who have showed kindness to me. I can look around this hall tonight and see a number of people who are not associated with the assembly in Bethany Hall. They've come from other places. I think of the years of fellowship I've had with them at different times. And I'm glad to see them here tonight. It encourages me. Have you ever noticed that when you go to a shop to buy flowers, and I see flowers in the hall tonight, good job that none of our Irish brethren here, I think that's all, to decorate halls with flowers. However, there were a wedding here on Saturday, and not just a little aftermath of the wedding. But when you go to a shop to buy flowers, you notice that they sell bouquets and they sell wreaths in the same shop. Go to the same place to get bouquets and wreaths. So that the same shop, as it were, has to do with joy and it has to do with sorrow. And at a meeting like this, there's always a measure of joy mingled with a measure of sorrow. It's with great joy that I speak to you now, mingled with thought. It may be the last time that I see some of you here in the body. I may see some of you again, of course. The world is a small place. Travel quick. They used to think it was an awful thing to travel from Cameron over facility to Cookley to a conference. How could they get there? Back again, long distance. Well, now it's no distance at all. Finish your work at 6 o'clock, you're near 7. Back again, no time. They leave Prestwick at night and they have their breakfast in New York the next morning. In a little while they'll be having their breakfast here and having another breakfast when they get out there. They'll be running as fast as the sun. Oh yes. The world is a small place, Owen. Men are travelling to and fro for different purposes. So it may be as the Lord tarries, and in about 8 or 10 years' time perhaps we may be able to come back and see some of the little ones grown up, whatever praise some of the older ones will have gone home to the glory. So tonight it's with a measure of sorrow. We may not see some of you again here in the body, but we hope that we'll all meet again in the glory. Now, I lecture you 3 simple scriptures because I want to strike the joyful. It's good to finish on a joyful note. And I'm going to tell the chairman right now that when I'm finished, he's not to finish this meeting tonight by saying, God be with you till we meet again. Or I'll walk up. Something with good cheer. Now, says the Lord Jesus to a man one day, he said, Son, be of good cheer. But thy sins be forgiven thee. That's something to make you joyful, isn't it? You know, I've never been able to understand why some Christians are sad. I can understand a person weeping for joy. That's possible. Weeping for joy. I saw a father one night with his arms round his son's neck, and the son with his arms round his father's neck. And they were weeping. Weeping for joy because that son had crossed the door. And all he said was, Oh John, oh John, oh John, kissed his son like a father kissing a prodigal. Weeping for joy. But he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Be of good cheer. The Christian's a joyful person. Good cheer. And the world's bidding you farewell today, they say, Well, we wish you the best. Cheerio. Ah, the Christian goes further than that. The Christian says, Be of good cheer. I wonder, as I look at you tonight, can everyone inside this hall tonight rejoice in the good cheer of the Lord's Father? Now, can you think back to a day when you heard them say as it well to you, Be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. Now I can look back to that day. Long time ago now. I'm glad I was saved when I was young. It's good for a person to get saved even when they're old. It's good to get saved even when you're old. But it's better to get saved when you're young. Now I can look back on a number of years now. Now I remember the night when I learned that my sins well, forgive me, that I was pardoned. Now, let me press that home tonight. I know most of you, but maybe there is some in here tonight, and you've never heard the word of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven me. Oh yes, I was baptized, a long time ago. I'm not talking about being baptized now. And I've been meeting with God's people for 32 years since I first met the company of God's people to break bread over in the Gospel Hall in Philippians. 32 years. And you know, I can count every morning from then till now, I can count every morning that I've missed being at the breaking of bread for 32 years. I can count the Sundays I missed. I used to be able to say I could count them on my fingers. Well, I just just sort of, I would have to have a few extra fingers now, but not many. And I can account, not only count, I can account for them all. And there's only one I'm ashamed of, and I'm not telling you why, because it might hurt the feelings of a lot in you tonight. I wonder, friend, as I speak to you tonight, I think of these things. It's good to be baptized, it's good to have fellowship with God's people. You know, that's not the good cheer that's in the text. It stands here, good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. That's the thing. Some people like to talk about their associations with groups of Christians, and they can even talk of being baptized. And yet, you know, when it comes to this good cheer of forgiveness, the pardon of the Lord, they're not too sure of it. Oh, friend, be sure of this tonight, that you can rejoice in this good cheer. Be of good cheer, thy sins are forgiven thee. The good cheer of his pardon, that's where the Christian life begins. You know, I like John 14, the upper room. There's a lot of sorrow there that night. He had indicated to them he was going to leave them. And he had been sorrowful. In chapter 13 he was sorrowful. In chapter 11 he was sorrowful. He groaned and he wept at the tomb of Lazarus. In chapter 14 he said, let not your heart be troubled. Well, that's the opposite way of saying be of good cheer. Put it in a negative way. Let not your heart be troubled. In other words, be cheerful. When you come to verse 27, it tells you why. My peace I leave with you. I hear the good cheer of his peace. You know, the world today talks about peace. There are peace palaces built. They hold peace conferences. They sign peace treaties. And of peace they only know the name. The world knows nothing about peace and never will until the Prince of Peace rules and reigns. But the Christian knows peace now. Peace, you know, is that quietness of spirit in the midst of the storm. Do you know that peace? The peace of God. My peace, he says, I leave with you. Let not your heart be troubled. The tragedy of the present age, it would seem, as the tragedy of the troubled heart. People are troubled. They're perplexed. They just don't know what lies before them. And Christians are apt to be caught up in this great wave of trouble, restlessness. Now says the Lord, my peace give to you. Be of good cheer, let not your heart trouble. But now when you come to the last verse of chapter 16, it says there, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. You know, the world has a great amount of power. There's a lot of powerful men in the world. Perhaps there's more powerful men to rise yet. Now, but don't be too shaken. Here's one who says you can be of good cheer. He says, I have overcome the world. Here's the good cheer of his power. Have you ever thought of the power of the Savior? That one who spoke pardon to you. The one who says, my peace I leave with you. He's the all-powerful one. Resurrection ground, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And he gives to us tonight the good cheer of his power. He says, I have overcome the world. And so I want you tonight, as I leave you, and I may never see some of you again, just to keep those simple things in mind. I know they're not new. But rejoice and be of good cheer if you know his pardon. Rejoice and be of good cheer because of his peace and his presence. Rejoice and be of good cheer because of his power. Now a number of folks have said to me, Bill, why are you going away? the Lundy woman up in the north, she says, is there sufficient in Scotland for you to do what it is yet? More than enough. There's a lot to be done. But I said, there's a lot of men in Scotland to do it. And there weren't. In America, there's a population of about, I think it's 168 million people. It's a big country. We're just slightly under 50 million, I think, in this country just now. There's more than 3 times the population in the United States that we have in this country. And as most of you know, I've been over on 2 occasions and visited. And I've seen things and learned things there and touched my heart. One thing was this, that the district to which I'm going, there's a need for the word, both for the message of the gospel and for the ministry of the word. In 1956, the month of October, I went away and I came home in April 57. Now the first 5 weeks of 1957 I spent in North Carolina. I went to a place called Burlington for a week. On the Saturday night, the opening night, a young fellow came to me and said, look, Bill, he said, I can't get out to the meetings this week, I'm working afternoons. So he said, you know, Mr. Smith, and by the way, Mr. Smith, an old man who emigrated some years ago from Foster, a grand old fellow. He's down in Burlington, he's been there for some years now. He said, Mr. Smith, gives us a Bible reading every Wednesday morning. He says, do you think you could give us a Bible study on Wednesday? I said, I would be delighted. Another young fellow said, why should we only have one if the rest are going to have 5 meetings this week? Couldn't we have 5 Bible readings, Monday to Friday, each morning? I said, I'm willing. I said, well, we'll come. So those who were working afternoons came out in the morning. You see how many came? Between 20 and 30 each morning. Some of them brought their wives and their babies, and the babies were put in an adjoining room. In the grounds or in the little cots they had there, they called it the nostrils. And between 20 and 30 of us got down on the scriptures for 5 mornings of that week. Then we had the meeting each night. Now I ask you, do you know an assembly around here that would ask for that? I know that hardly come to the weekly Bible reading that's held at night. You get about a handful coming out to Bible study. There was a time when they would come for Bible study, they won't come now. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. These folks are anxious, like newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word. They are young assemblies of Christians, and by the way, that's all they know they are. They just know they are Christians. And it's good when that's all they know. That's all we should be. May God preserve us from ever being anything else. They are just companies of Christians meeting according to the word of God with an ear and a heart for the word of God and willing to carry out what they're taught, and they're getting on with the work. I visited Durham. I told some of you the history of Durham. When I was there, that assembly had been going on for 14 years. A man called Lester Wilson went and pitched his tent and labored for 8 months. And the net result of 8 months' campaign was 12 converts. But they were converts, not frogs. 12 for 8 months. It's good enough for God and good enough for him. And they started off an assembly with 12. And a man and his wife who came down from Pennsylvania sold off the little farm and went down depending on the Lord and made their home in the city of Durham and started off with those 12 believers. And when I was there, the first Sunday of the year, 1957, 400 broke bread after 14 years. They grew from 12 to 400 in 14 years. And at the family Bible hour at 11 o'clock, they registered 1,031 at the family Bible hour. We broke bread, by the way, at 9:30. the family Bible out at 11 o'clock. 1,071 was present that morning in Durham. We're going to make our home, at least to begin with, in the town of Raleigh. It's one of the oldest established assemblies down in that area, and has more or less has been the centre from which the work has spread out. More established than the others, and gone on for a long number of years. And from there we feel we'll be able to help the work. There'll be different phases to the work. There's open doors there for work that we don't do here. For instance, I'll be helping in some radio work. Over 100 miles away in Winston-Salem, we'll be doing it by use of the tape. And they put over a little service every morning called your daily devotion program. It goes over for 10 minutes. I've already broadcast over that station different times, left tape for them. And I had a letter some months ago asking me to make tape, but I had to tell them I'd wait till it came out. And so there's the work for the radio, which we've never been privileged to do in this country. As you know, the assemblies in this country get about 6 services in the year, posted together, controlled by Roman Catholic. Where I'm going to Protestant background, the radio, of course, is all commercialized, and you buy the time, pay for it. God's people pay for the time there to put over the program. I know this, I'll have your prayer. I'm going there because I believe it's the Lord's will. And I was at Winston-Salem. I saw them led with me to cancel all my engagements up in the north and stay with them in the south. I couldn't do it. They said, well, you'll come back again. I said, I can't promise. We'll see how the Lord feels. The time has gone on. And this year, it came a burden on our hearts. We thought it well. We were afraid about it. Put the matter before the Lord. And each little one together, the way has opened up. We're leaving you tomorrow morning. We go to Liverpool, have a meeting there tomorrow night, and we hope to sail from Liverpool on Friday, landing in New York a week on Saturday, God willing, spending about 10 days in the New Jersey area, and then travelling down a little over 600 miles from New York, right down into North Carolina. You remember us with our difficulties. There are difficulties there that you've never experienced here. A letter came just a little over a week ago from the man who had sponsored me. He said on his letter, he says, Bill, I had a visit from a friend of mine from Johnson City in Tennessee. He spent a weekend with me. Now he said, since going home, he has sent me a letter, and I'm sending you a copy of the letter. Now this friend who visited him was the president of a college of technology in Johnson City, Tennessee. During that weekend, he was taken down to the assembly in Raleigh. After going home, he wrote the letter and said something like this. He said, since visiting you, we have talked a lot about your church. We have been greatly impressed. We would like to know more how it works and how this thing operates. For he says, I am very interested in the work of the Lord, but not in denominations as such. But he said, we are convinced that this thing works in Raleigh, it could work in Johnson City. But what we don't know is, how does it operate? How can we get something started in Johnson City the same as you've got in Raleigh? Now that may seem strange to you, that's been brought up in assembly life. But there are people who are saved of the Lord, anxious to go on with the things of the Lord, but they've never seen it before. But the moment they see how an assembly operates, they're anxious to have something similar in their own city. Now I could go on and tell you of other places over there where there's a similar interest. You pray. We'll pray for you. And so our prayers will be mutual, one for the other.
See, I so we'll just go ahead.
Lift your head, God, even more than sadness. Seek now thy parting blessing
and return our grateful thanks for thy goodness to us, and seek again, as we commit our friends into thy hands, journeying thus.